Lord willing, we will finish the chapter. Proverbs chapter 1. I did have some outlines. Did anybody need an outline? I forgot to bring it out late, though I had someone help me hand them out. I trust that you have. I have purposely and intentionally did not want to zip through this too fast because too often we miss the weightiness of the danger of ignoring, neglecting, or treating wisdom's call with indifference. Not realizing that when we chart our own course, we will pay dearly for it. We had touch on that briefly this morning in the first half of this section. It will definitely come to clarity, and as I had a friend once say, bring it into technicolor by the time you get to the second half. So, pick it up in verse 20, though tonight we will begin in verse 28 to the end of the chapter. Let's read the context, beginning in verse 20. Wisdom calls out loud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my word known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish comes upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure, without fear of evil. Let's pray. Father, be with us tonight. The giver of all wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment. Father, give it ears to hear and eyes to see. May we listen to what's being said as wisdom cries out and calls us, which is nothing more than a personification of you calling us to yourself to seek your knowledge, knowledge of you and of your ways. Oh, Father, help us to understand the seriousness and the spiritual reality that are being taught right here. So much hinges on whether we take the route of folly or wisdom, the way of the world, the way of man, with the way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And yet there's hope, blessing, prosperity, peace, security in you and in your path. Oh, Father, help us to heed these words being spoken and exhorted and expound it to us tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's remember what we have learned from this morning. Wisdom had been calling, and for quite some time, had been calling again and again personally to each and every one of us. Everywhere. Everyone had been given the call. Everywhere is it available if you have ears to hear, if you're seeking for it and wanting it. But one of the major problems that we're going to definitely see here is if I don't have a problem, then I'm not going to worry about seeking advice. Now realizing that wisdom versus folly is charting a course that if you start on the wrong path, you're going to end up either in a place of blessings or woes. You will not like the end result if you shun wisdom's call. I especially urge every one of us, especially young people, this book was for you. This book was for parents to teach and have that rooted in them, and all you're getting, get wisdom. Now we know Solomon, by example, was probably the last guy we want to follow. Because we know from his lessons and what we learned from Ecclesiastes and the historical book, he was not very good at practicing what he taught. But he nevertheless gave us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Proverbs for our living and learning. So I have simply entitled, Wisdom is Calling, Are You Listening? Part 2. It continues. We had wisdom calling. They shunned, they ignored, they refused, they disdained it. Now the moment of truth had come. The storm is hit. The whirlwind is creating the destruction in their life. Boy, now they have time. Boy, now they want to seek God. Lord, help! Where art thou? Where are you now? I need you. The Bible makes it real clear in the last two verses we dealt with this morning. I will laugh when your calamity, at your calamity. I will mock when your terror come. Tonight we pick it up in verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, and they will not find me. You know what's funny? It's very popular among Christians that God always listens to us when we call upon Him. That is not true when you shun Him again and again and again, and you're crying out of desperation. You're crying because now you have reaped what you have sown. You have sown bad seeds in the relationship. Now that relationship is deteriorating and falling apart. Now you're crying out to God. All of a sudden you got an interest in the principles and teachings and the truth of God and His Word and His will and His ways. That is too late. Way too late. That's why he started this verse in verse 28. Then they will call on me. Only when, oh, now I see it. Now I know what he was saying. Now I know calamity, distress, terror, storm, whirlwind, all speaks to a life in chaos, self-inflicted. God is dealing with you now, and you are getting the fruit of your own way. You are reaping what you've sown. Here we have it, the judgment of God will indeed bring them to their senses, but too late. Fools have always chosen to learn the hard way. That's why it says in Proverbs, the way of a transgressor is hard. They don't listen. They don't learn. They don't change. Well, I can do it better next time. Well, I won't get caught next time. No, there is a wrong path that has pain and sorrow and consequences that are negative. And enter the right way, the way of wisdom, the way of the will of God. Fools have always chosen to learn the hard way, and learn they will. But by then, it will be too late to undo the folly done and escape its consequences. You will not be able to shake off the consequences. And it's amazing how many Christians become bitter when those consequences are longer than they expected. Some consequences are lifelong. You sow certain things, you will reap lifetime consequences. Look at David. His adultery with Bathsheba, his murdering of her husband Uriah. And yes, he repented. He confessed, powerfully so, in contrition, in humility. Psalm 51, Psalm 32, both are the confession of David's confession, record of it. But he still did not get exempt from the consequences. It impacted his family, the kingdom, testimony, and gave the wicked an opportunity to slander the God of Israel. Because their king, above all people, should have known better. It says here, they will call upon me. They will seek me diligently. The idea of seek diligently implied desperation. I'm desperate. It's amazing how many people need my counseling when things are falling apart in their life. When they won't listen to the preaching of the word, they won't come to hear and get instructed. Preaching is nothing more than day-to-day counseling of God's word. If there's ever a place where wisdom is communicating itself, it is from the exposition of his word. What a great place to come and learn it in a fire hose fashion. Instead of bits and pieces here and there. And yet people don't have time. They have other priorities. So seeking diligently, they will call on him. Seeking diligently implied desperation. The word diligently means they not only seek with a sense of urgency, but they seek early. Right from the very beginning when they saw circumstances changing, instantly they went to their need and began to cry out. That's what the word means. But I want to preface it again, it's too late. It's too late. I want those words to burn in your mind. You can send away the grace of God where his patience says enough is enough. It is now time for you to learn the lesson. And sometimes we will see God dealing with certain people, and we need to let that to be an object lesson for us not to go down that path that they have chosen. Though they call upon him, though they seek him diligently, he specifically said, I will not answer, and they will not find me. Not will not be found. A lot of people will say, man, that's hard. That's kind of new to me. I never really realized that God was that way. God had been consistent from the beginning to the end on this principle. He had been very consistent with his unwillingness to hear or listen to the prayers and cries of people in distress because of rejecting him and his word and his principle. Remember Noah's flood? What is that but the rejecting of 100+ years of Noah preaching? Only 8 went in. The rest perished. God finally said, enough is enough, closed the door. They perished. Job 35, verse 12, there they cry out, but he does not answer because of the pride of evil men. Psalms 18, verse 41, they cry out, and there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Why? Their sin. Isaiah 1:15, When you spread out your hand, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hand are full of blood. The idea of spreading out your hand is the one of worship. Will not listen, will not heed it, will not look at it. Because it's hypocrisy at its core. Even Jeremiah says in 11:11, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. We learned from the minor prophets in our series there, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet to the northern and the southern kingdom. Return to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. They would not heed. They would not respond. They simply went down their foolish ways. Even Ezekiel 8:18, therefore I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Meaning I will, he's not hard of hearing where he needs hearing aids. He will not listen to you. Micah chapter 3 verse 4. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time. At what time? A time of trial, time of tribulation. Because they have been evil in their deeds. Even Zechariah 7:13, therefore it happened, just that he proclaimed, they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, said the Lord of hosts. Well, let you want to think that's only an Old Testament God of wrath portion of Scripture. Let me give you the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And yet I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here you got people, religious people, proclaiming to do religious duty out of devotion, love, and worship for God. And God saying, I know who you are at the very heart, core nature. You, I don't even know. In fact, turn with me to Isaiah 59. A very, very familiar passage. Isaiah 59. Verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Why? Because of sins and iniquity. He is more than able and capable of doing whatever needs to be done. He's more than able and capable of hearing and responding to your prayers. But there's something blocking it. Your and I sins and iniquity. In this case, in our path, is rejecting and ignoring and treating with a sense of indifference, even to the point of despising and hating his call personified in wisdom. What about the five foolish virgins who didn't bring their oil for the lamp, and they had to go into town to buy a bunch of oil and come back out only to find out the door, the bridegroom had already opened the door and let the other five who came prepared close the door. They knocked feverishly, depart, don't even know you. Recorded in Matthew 25 and Luke 13. So we have so far in these few short verses, God laughing and mocking and refusing to hear and listen. Why? Why will the Lord do such a thing when I have come to know him as the God of love, grace, and mercy, who can answer and hear our prayers? Why will he not respond and be found? found in the next two verses, 29 and 30. This is important, whether you think it's important or not. This was the game changer with the Lord. 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They ignored verse 7 of this chapter. You want to start your life right? You want blessings in your life? Fear of the Lord is where it all starts. It's where it all starts. They hated knowledge. Not just information. Right kind of knowledge. Knowledge about God. Knowledge about truth. Knowledge about His Word, His will, His ways. They did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Here lies the game changer. And you can step back and say, hey, you know, what's the big deal? So we kind of shun you for a moment. You don't shun the majesty on heaven. The Bible may declare, I will not be mocked. Ever. And we see it again and again and again that we as God's people need to have the fear of the Lord and allow that to regulate our life so the world would see that we're different and we're regulated by this fear of the Lord. That is two-pronged with awe and sense of reverence and respect with the sense of terror and dread, lest I fall in disfavor and be chastened. First of all, they hated knowledge. Let's talk about the word hated. That's a pretty strong word. Sometimes we use it too loosely now, Dave. But the word hated is a very emotional term. It's a very emotional attitude. But when you do a word study and begin to understand what that hatred is, so you'll understand what's going on here. It's an emotional attitude toward a person or thing that are opposed, detest, despised, and with whom one wishes to have no contact or relationship. When you hate somebody, I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. You find friends who used to be BFF, best friend forever, something happened, now there's an enmity and a hatred that they want to have nothing to do with each other. Sadly, it happened in marriages. Sadly, it happened in families. Where of all places that should be nourishing and fostering love, support, and encouragement, it doesn't always do that because hatred had settled in somewhere along the line. And it's the opposite of love, where love draws and unites people, hatred separates and keep distance. Don't want to be close to you. Some things, beloved, the Bible makes it clear that we should hate. Indeed, even God hates some things, and we ought to hate what He hates. However, John Kitchen, who wrote a very good commentary on Proverbs, said this, quote, "The fool, however, has embraced what should have been shunned and shunned what should have been embraced. He instead embraces folly and shuns God instead of embracing God and shunning folly." These people who are experiencing the laughter and the mockery and the derision of God and not respond and His silence to their crying out, it's because they hated knowledge. This kind of knowledge, it's a word that means perception, skill, discernment, understanding, and wisdom. It can be positive or negative knowledge. Clearly, we're not talking about knowledge of evil, because God wanted to be ignorant toward that which is evil and wise concerning that which is good. Even in Proverbs, we talk about in chapter 2, verse 5, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So clearly this knowledge is about God Himself. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This knowledge is a good, wholesome, right kind of knowledge. It's just not any information. The world picks certain knowledge that works best to apply best for them, where we want to pick the right, good, holy, and righteous knowledge that, when applied, bring blessing to our fellow man and glory to God. Vastly different. And it all starts with the kind of knowledge they go after. They hated this knowledge of the one true God, His ways, His path. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They violated again, like I said in verse 7, this choosing or lack of choosing the fear of the Lord had ultimate and eternal significance. This is not something willy-nilly that nothing happened. You know, it doesn't matter which block of cereal you pick. But it does make a difference whether you choose folly or wisdom. It doesn't make a difference when you embrace Christ or not. That has eternal consequences. Would not listen to my counsel. Would not accept the advice of the Lord. It is the idea of an unwillingness to bend one's will to obligation and or a commandment or request even that comes from, in our text, God. The fool will always say in his heart, "You don't tell me what to do." Pharaoh said, "Who is this God that I should listen to him?" When Moses came to him and said, "Hey, God said, let my people go. Who is this God?" Well, he learned 10 plagues, lost of his own son, his elder son, almost total death, the creation of his country, his people, his economy, because he didn't yield at first. He showed the hard way. Fools always have a sense of unteachableness to the things of God. Don't ever become unteachable. You are to be a student for life. You are a disciple, a follower of Christ. And you are to, and it doesn't even matter who that wisdom and advice comes from. If it's true, heed it. If it's not, ignore it. Bible even said that even out of the mouth of babes comes wisdom. Sometimes the best advice, and for some reason we listen to children when they say the right thing at the right time, that where do they pick this up? And yet, when adults or somebody you don't respect or you have chosen that I do not listen to people, and they give you truth and wisdom and advice, but let it come elsewhere, why is it that we learn? And yet, in between the time you rejected that until you get that, how much time have you lost? You have despised every rebuke. The word despise means to spurn, to abhor. Fools don't like being corrected. This is the heart of a person who had the disdainful view of God that leads them to prefer sin and folly than to God. We see it all over. There isn't a person alive that you can all you can go down the list. They're either one of the four fools or they're the wise person. Every person in this world fits in that category. People you work with, your next door neighbor, family members. Proverbs 5, verse 12 through 14. How I have hated instruction. Here we have a person who have reaped what they sown, and here in honesty they're saying these words. And say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. That later on in this proverb, when we get with it, we're going to unpack that and all of its full force. Psalm 50, verse 17, seeing you hate instruction and cast my word behind you. It's like oh, God giving you his advice, his precious, wonderful, soul-saving advice. You just tossed it behind you and ignore it at trash. That's what he's saying. Jeremiah 8, verse 9, Listen to this. This was a gem. Jeremiah 8, 9. The wise men were ashamed. Now remember, Jeremiah, we're talking about in the context of they're about ready to go into the Babylonian captivity, and Jeremiah doing everything he can to call the people back to the Lord. And here he said, the wise men are ashamed. The wise men of the land are ashamed, astounded. They are confused. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, listen, they have rejected the word of the Lord. Listen to these words. So what wisdom do they have? Think about that. Why do we listen to people who have absolutely no regard for the law and the word of God, and we listen to their advice to try to gain traction in this world? Success, popularity, whatever. What wisdom do they have? Here, yet they were called the wise men of the land. But they rejected the Lord. Their knowledge for their wisdom was wrong. Their end game for their wisdom was wrong. I thought that was insightful in light of our study in Proverbs, where we're going to have throughout the entire book the comparison and contrast between the wise and the fool. Point number two, filled of their own way, 31 and 32. Let's begin with 31. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. These are scary words. Think about it. They will eat the fruit of their own way. The word fruit, it's a metaphorical reference that speaks to the consequences of people's choices and decisions, whether it's good or bad. All you have to do is follow that word and track it out in Proverbs and elsewhere in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it usually talked about not necessarily the fruit of the land, grains or fruit trees or what have you, but the fruit of one's life or choice and decision. Here, they ate the fruit of their own ways. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Proverbs 22, verse 8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Job 4, verse 8, even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. They will reap what they sow. They will get the fruit of their ways. Nobody's exempt from that moral law. The next one is really scary. Notice the last half of that verse. And be filled to the full with their own fancies. The word fancy means, in some translation uses the word devices, basically what it means, their own counsel, their own advice, their own plan, their own input. They are running the ship. They determine and make the call. They are from their own resources and their own ambition, from their own goals that they have accomplished or set out for themselves. Every time they did not choose the Lord, they showed their own fancy, their own way instead of the fear of the Lord. That's what's happening here. Here lies the scary part. It is couched in the phrase, filled to the full. Filled to the full. It is the idea means to be satisfied, filled, or full. Every time they did not again choose the Lord, they showed their own way. So God is going to let them have their bellies full of what they wanted and then some. Filled to the full. You want it? You're going to get the full element of it. You're not going to get to stop halfway. You're going to get all of it and then some more. Here lied, it didn't simply said full, filled to the full. They are going to be stuffed with the consequences of their sin. Jeremiah 2:19, your own wickedness will correct you and your own backsliding will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, said the Lord God of hosts. Here Jeremiah was saying, and that's Ethan, you are going to be filled to the full of your wickedness, your sin, your desire, your way, your devices, your counsel, your ambition. John Kitchen said this, listen, the word judgment God may ever pronounce on this side of eternity is to allow it to have the full impact of the way that we choose. End quote. That's scary. The old proverb, be careful what you wish for. The worst thing God can do if you're off the wrong path and you're on your own way, to let you get to fill to the full of your ways, your schemes, your plans. Oh, beloved, wisdom is calling out. Are we listening? Wisdom is everywhere. Are we listening? He is speaking to each one of us. Are you listening? And responding and orientating your life accordingly. Verse 32. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Let's remember who we're talking about first and foremost, the simple. Remember, they're the naive ones. They were the gullible ones. They were the ones who really haven't made any choices yet, but even in their indecision, they get the consequences of fools because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's why it said here that even the simple will slay them. Their simplicity, their indifference, their, well, you know, when I get older, when I leave, when I, whatever the excuse is, there will be a time you no longer become and remain the simple one, the naive one, the gullible one. Eventually, you will, in your indecision, become the fool who rejects, ignores, maybe even later hate, maybe even later scorn it. Here lie the sages of the fool throughout Proverbs. The turning away, the word turning away, when the simple simply wander, they backslide, they wisdom is calling. Everywhere they go is there, whether it's parent teaching them, friend telling them, wherever they go is there. And they choose to turn away from it. They haven't all out rejected it yet. But if they remain so and don't put into their lives the things they need to walk the straight and the narrow, the path that honoring to the Lord, that bear good fruit, they will eventually lose it. The turning the way of the simple will slay them. Here the simple turning their back on wisdom and walking away, not realizing their defection lead to death, eternal death. That's why you can never appeal to young people too young. Then we got the complacency of fools. This is an interesting concept, and yet the idea is throughout Scripture. The word complacency, when you first think about it, really means in the prosperity of fools, or the abundance, or the peace, or the quietness of fools. Now you're saying, well, man, the Bible said there's no rest for the wicked. You're right. But even the wicked do have a time of blessing, prosperity, affluence, abundance. And in that state, they are in a false peace. They are in thinking all is good and all is well. I don't need what they told me when I was a kid. I don't need what my neighbor tells me. I don't need what my boss told me about Jesus. I'm doing just fine in that complacency. In the context of prosperity, peace, all is well. I wrote down here that even fools fare well in this life, but it's always in the wrong direction, away from the fear of the Lord and not to honor and glorify the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. They were not given their existence to live their life the way they want, according to their terms. They were called and created and given their existence to worship their Creator. Complacency described a false security right up to the moment that judgment breaks upon their head. The complacency of fools will destroy them. Why? Because in their complacency and thinking all is well, they're not preparing. Like one of the prophets that said, prepare to meet thy God. That's not in their equation. Perfect illustration our Lord taught of this is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21. I think you know the story. He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, a ground of a certain rich man yield plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this, and I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Next verse. But God said to him, fool, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Matthew 16:26 says this, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? That last phrase, I never really thought much, because I've always caught on to the first part. What shall it profit a man if he gains his soul and, gain the world and lose his soul? But I have to really fundamental question, what are you willing to exchange your soul for, to let your soul go to hell in exchange for this trinket or that bit of prosperity? That is the height of folly. This fool shortchanged his soul for a few trinkets, a few toys, and a few moments of pleasure. All for what? To the losing of their soul. Kitchen said a very powerful statement regarding this entire chapter, especially this second half. Quote, one attitude toward God and His wisdom is not a simple matter of preference, but an eternal matter of life and death. Listen to these words. To spurn wisdom is spiritual suicide. End quote. And yet, when you talk to the fool, hey, wisdom is calling you. Do they think for a second, if they ignore that advice, that they're committing spiritual suicide? Of course not. Of course not. Number three. Now let's turn it to the positive. Amen? We heard a lot about if you do not hear His voice. Let's talk about the ones who do hear the voice. Verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure and without fear of evil. You know, real simple, live by faith and I will bless you. Maybe a quiet life, maybe from one of the words that I hear a lot, young people say about older people, boring. What good is it to live a chaotic life? A life that is constantly in upheaval. That's why Proverbs, it's better to have poverty where love is than wealth with strife. It said, but whoever listens to me, oh, may that be us. May that be us. It means listen with interest, listen to give heed and obey, to follow, to give consent and agree with, to yield to. It's not simply to hear and do nothing. What did we learn from this morning in Matthew chapter 7? If you hear His words and do them, you're a wise man, build your house on the rock. If you hear it and do not do it, you build your house on the sand. This is listening, heeding, responding, following, yielding. Oh, how different it is for those who listen and heed the call of wisdom and embrace wisdom in contrast to the self-destruction of the foolish. Self-destruction of the foolish. Proverbs 8:32-35 says it this way. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Is that not what we want? But you have to heed the voice and the call of wisdom. You have to listen to her. You have to listen to God through His word as He has given it to us. When we do that, three blessings come. You'll dwell in safety, you'll be secure, and you'll be without fear of evil. The idea here, the white person has found peace of mind that come with resting all that they have with God. They are perfectly content and satisfied there. They have what one commentator said, a peaceful freedom from worry. The idea is to be at ease and secure in real prosperity. It doesn't mean you might not lose it. It doesn't mean that there might not be trials and tribulations in your life. It's not talking about a perfect, blissful life. That doesn't happen until we go home. But we can have a good life. You know that little logo that you see everywhere? I first found it on the phone, LG, Life's Good. That should only belong to the Christian. Because life is only truly good with us when we follow this path. Life is truly good in the Lord. What a difference this is compared to the false peace and complacency of the fool who did not have real peace with God. We know this from Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose water capped up mire and dirt. There is no peace, said my God, for the wicked. Yes, they may have prosperity. Yes, they may have a lot of things, but it is a false peace and security. Listen to what God said. They don't have peace. They can yak all they want that they have it. But when the storm and the whirlwind come, things will change. Jeremiah 6:14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Trying to do all kinds of man-made fixes when the only answer would return to the Lord and follow his ways. Even in Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing, oh, I love this. In the light of what we were just reading right now, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he has no sorrow with it. What does that imply? The wicked always had sorrow in their blessing. There's hooks, you know, like that worm. The fish doesn't see the hook because all it's concerned about is the worm on the hook. Once they bite it, it's too late. When the Lord blesses, there is no sorrow. Those who listen to him, those who respond to him, will dwell in safety, be secure, and without evil. Why is that? Because of the great promise of Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest peace any man, woman, or child could ever have. That's where it starts. Salvation in Christ. And then our Lord reminded us of this. In John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So when we look at that very last phrase, without the fear of evil, this does not mean they will never experience evil, but they will be delivered and without the fear of sinful and tormenting cares and fears in this life, because they have come to trust in the providential, loving care of God in every area of their life. They have come to trust God's loving providence in every area of their life. They know when crisis hits, there is a purpose, and it's a good one. Doesn't mean it's pain-free. Doesn't mean it's joyful. What we can delight in and joy in is knowing that this is not for naught. This is for a purpose. Are we, at that moment, listening and letting God's corrective hand or pruning hand move us forward to where he wants us to go? Here lies Proverbs chapter 1. I can summarize it real simple, beloved. Wisdom is calling. Are you listening? If you are, the fear of the Lord is where it all starts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your patience with the people. We have such a rich passage of scripture here. May we hunger and thirst for your word, your wisdom, your ways, your will, everything. Help us to seek it, long for it, desire it, want it, pursue it. Oh, Lord, let it not be just so we can get the blessing of verse 33. The blessing of verse 33 comes as a result of our communion and fellowship with you as we pursue the call of wisdom, which is nothing more than the personification of your call to us. Oh, Lord, be with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.